You're now listening to the Engage the Rockies podcast, your go-to podcast for local and state issues concerning Colorado.
Hello, Colorado. This is your Week in Review podcast for the week of June 10th to June 14th. If you'd like the show notes with links to the stories we're covering today, please visit engagetherockies.com and sign up to our email. Every Friday, we'll send you the list of articles when a new episode is released. From around the state, another wolf depredation has taken place in Colorado, this one in Jackson County. The attack happened on June 9th, 2024, involving one calf, according to Colorado Parks and Wildlife. The report does not specify whether the calf survived. This is the 11th head of cattle confirmed to be involved in the depredation attack and the 9th incident since the formal introduction of wolves took place in December 2023. The first attack occurred on April 2nd. Moving on. Colorado's Libertarian Party doesn't plan to submit paperwork putting the party's presidential and vice presidential nominees on the state's general election ballot after determining the national ticket doesn't share the state party's core values, a party spokesperson said. That could change if Libertarian presidential nominee Chase Oliver and his running mate, Mike Termont, change their positions on numerous issues, the spokesman told Colorado Politics. As things stand, however, the state's largest minor political party is leaving its options open and could nominate someone else or list none of the above as the Libertarian candidate for president on Colorado ballots. Colorado's official major and minor political parties have until September 6th to turn in their nominees to the Colorado Secretary of State's office, which is required to certify statewide ballots the same day. Under a resolution adopted unanimously on Monday by the Colorado Libertarians Governing Board, the party refused to place Oliver and Termont in contention for the state's 10 electoral votes. Moving on. A move to fire Colorado Republican Party Chairman Dave Williams following the state GOP's attacks on Pride Month gained steam Monday as a dozen county Republican parties added their names to a list of petitioners calling on state party officials to force Williams from office. An organizer of the push told Colorado Politics she plans to deliver a letter to Williams on Tuesday demanding that the party call a special meeting of the state GOP's governing body to consider whether to remove him or not. Williams, a candidate in this month's primary for the El Paso County-based seat held by retiring U.S. Rep. Doug Lamborn, told Colorado Politics he relishes the chance to defend the state party's recent messages targeting the LGBTQ community, including a mass email titled "God Hates Pride" and a call for supporters to burn all the pride flags. By late Monday, Jefferson County GOP Chair Nancy Pelosi said GOP executive committees in 12 of the state's 64 counties had committed to the effort. Mesa, Garfield, Delta, La Plata, Pueblo, Otero, Huerfano, Los Animas, Eagle, Teller, and Elbert counties. She told Colorado Politics that she expects to add more counties to the list later this week after their leaders have a chance to meet. Pelosi said she'll ask the state party to schedule the meeting in person at a central location at a reasonable time and prior to the RNC meeting. Moving on, Governor Jared Polis has signed an executive order to bolster cybersecurity measures for the state's primary election later this month. The order activates 4 to 6 members of the Colorado National Guard's Defensive Cyber Operations Element to assist with election cybersecurity defense starting on June 18th. As in previous elections, this assistance can be extended for up to 30 days. In a press release from the governor's office, it stated, "With this action, Colorado continues its long history of safe and secure elections, providing Coloradans with the opportunity to exercise their fundamental right to vote." Moving on. Denver Public Schools projects 6,338 fewer children will attend its schools within the next 5 years as the declining K-12 enrollment continues to hit Colorado districts and their budgets, despite the unexpected boost from last year's surge of migrant students. Enrollment in Colorado's largest district is expected to fall 8.3% from 76,157 K-12 students during the 2023-2024 academic year to 69,819 pupils during the 2028-2029 school year, according to a presentation DPS officials are scheduled to give the Board of Education on Monday. The school board on Monday is also expected to discuss the district's policy on school consolidation and closures, which, if approved, would set guidelines for Superintendent Alex Marrero if and when he decides which schools to recommend for closure. Across Colorado and the U.S., public school districts have emerged from the pandemic to find fewer students in their classrooms because Americans are having fewer babies, meaning there just aren't as many children as there used to be. Enrollment in Colorado public schools hit its lowest point in a decade last fall, placing financial pressure on districts as fewer children means less funding from the state. Last academic year, DPS saw enrollment in its schools increase for the first time since 2019, thanks in large part to the arrival of 4,741 migrant students, many of whom crossed the southern border to its schools. In local El Paso County news, the Colorado Springs City Council voted down a new city-run ambulance service Tuesday after months of debate about whether to take over services provided by a private company. The council voted 5-4 not to create an ambulance service that would have been funded through fees for service, not city taxes. The vote leaves the contract with American Medical Response in place. Colorado Springs Fire Department Chief Randy Royal recapped the pitch for bringing the ambulance service in-house during the meeting, saying it would be self-sustaining. The city could bill patients less, and it would allow the departments to continue adding innovative services for low-level and behavioral health calls. The department has been recognized for unique services. For example, crews and SUVs respond to 911 calls for low-level injuries such as sprained ankles that free up others to respond to critical emergencies. Councilwoman Lynette Crow Iverson was among the council members that opposed the project and pointed to an audit report that came out Thursday as proof the fire department was overestimating its revenues from commercial insurance. As a city enterprise, the service would have to pay for itself through Medicaid, Medicare, and commercial insurance payments. Private insurance brings in the highest amount of revenue for ambulance services. We're going to have more on this issue in our upcoming Monday episode with Councilman Brian Risley to discuss his vote and position on this issue. So make sure you turn into Engage the Rockies podcast on Monday, please. Moving on. Colorado Springs Parks officials are taking next steps towards a long-awaited decision on electric-powered bikes' legal fate on city-owned trails. A decision has been in limbo since 2021 when the City Parks Department announced allowing e-bikes on all trails where other bikes were allowed in what was to be a year-long review period. The pilot program was scrapped amid opponents threatening lawsuits. They pointed to the city's 1997 voter-approved Trails, Open Space, and Parks, also known as TOPS ordinance, which bans motorized vehicles from properties funded by TOPS sales tax collections, including Red Rock Canyon, Stratton and Blodgett open spaces, to name a few. Now officials are launching a survey, part of a community engagement plan, as TOPS manager Lana Thielen told TOPS committee members during a recent brief presentation. The online survey aims to gather broad input following task force meetings that brought together decision makers and advocates on either side of the e-bike debate. That debate has continued around the city's parks and open spaces, while other land managers across the Front Range have decided on varying levels of access for the increasingly popular vehicle. Moving on, Colorado Springs residents can now provide feedback that will help shape the city's long-term goals and priorities. The City of Colorado Springs is developing a community-driven 2024 to 2028 strategic plan, emphasizing Mayor Yemi Mabilade's core vision for the next 4 years. Among other opportunities to provide their feedback on the draft plan before it is finalized, residents are invited to attend and give their comments at public meetings next week when city officials unveil the document. The mayor is required by city charter to develop a strategic plan every 4 years. It prioritizes critical actions and outlines a plan for aligning the annual city budget with 5 priorities of public safety, economic vitality, infrastructure, housing solutions, and community activation, officials said in a Tuesday news release. The plan will be presented at virtual and in-person meetings on June 11th. The public is invited to attend either meeting and provide their comments. The in-person meeting is 6 to 7:30 p.m. Tuesday at Carmel Community School. The address is 1740 Pepperwood Drive. The virtual meeting is scheduled for 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Tuesday. On the day of the event, the link to the virtual meeting will be available on the strategic plan webpage at coloradosprings.gov/2024strategicplan. And lastly, don't forget that this Sunday is Father's Day. Those are your top stories for the week of June 10th through June 14th. Please tune in each Friday for your week in review from Engage the Rockies. Please continue to like, share, and subscribe for more great content. If you'd like the full articles from the stories we read today, sign up to our email list at engagetherockies.com, and we'll send you our show notes each week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Engage the Rockies podcast, your go-to podcast for local and state issues concerning Colorado.